Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
It was a pleasure to welcome Amy Edgar from Transport for London as our first speaker at our Link Day in London on Saturday, the 24th of November.
So I work in public affairs in Transport for London, and I look after our relationships with accessibility stakeholders. So for instance, like the Thomas Pocklington Trust, RNIB, Alzheimer's Society, lots and lots of organisations. First of all, it's great to be here today, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak to you. I'm going to give you a kind of a brief overview of our accessible transport services and kind of helpful ways to get you out and about, and hopefully provide you with some new information. I'll speak to you about some of our campaigns as well that we have at the moment. But I'll try and keep it very brief, as I'm sure you've got lots of questions to ask me. So I want to leave enough time for you to ask me some questions. But first of all, I've got a question for all of you. Could I have a raise of hands of who took public transport to get here today?
Yep.
Amazing. Great. And what did you use? Just shout out what you used.
Train.
Bus.
Train.
Oh, train.
Boat.
Really? Oh, that's a lovely journey. Great, that's great to hear. So we do an awful lot at Transport for London, and we cover a lot of services, and it's probably, if you live in London, you step outside your door and travel somewhere, you will use some of at least one of our services. So we have London Streets, which is our Transport for London road network out here at RN. And that's 5% of the roads in London, which we call our red route. We have London buses, obviously. We've got the London Underground, the London Overground, TfL Rail, which will eventually be the Elizabeth Line. We've got the DLR. We've got Dial-A-Ride. We've got a range, complete range of services, which keeps us very, very busy in London. So moving on. So you've all kind of, I think, most of you raised your hands that you took public transport today. Did anyone plan their journey before they set out?
Yeah?
Does anyone want to tell me how they what they used to plan their journey?
The app.
What app did you use?
London Transport app.
Okay, great. Anyone else use anything different?
Google Maps.
Google Maps, yeah, sorry.
Train times and Google Maps.
Great. That's fantastic. So there's lots of different ways that you can plan your journey, like apps that you just mentioned. You can use our online journey planner, which allows you to put a start and end location, and it also allows you to edit your preferences. So if you'd like a step-free journey, you can select that. If you'd like a less walking time, you can edit all your preferences. So to plan kind of your own journey. So that's our online journey planner. Also apps. So at TfL we provide all of our data for free, which allows these app developers to use our data and provide these apps to our customers and help them plan their journey. So you've already mentioned some really good apps out there that you use. One that I use CityMapper all the time.
Not
use
very
that.
Accessible though. Sadly.
CityMapper isn't.
No, not at all.
No, but the.
Do you have an accessible app that you would recommend for people when they? Because obviously, when people, it's all right saying you use an app, but you know what app?
Yes, so that's a good question, and we are in the process of developing an app at the moment called TfL Go, but it's at the very kind of beginning stages. So when that's more kind of developed, we'd love to come and speak to you some more about that app, and we will probably want to do some user testing as well. So it'd be great to use some people in the room to use get some testing on that app. But there are a lot of other apps. I think some of you have just mentioned that you already use that probably are more accessible than others. But yeah, at TFL we are kind of developing our own app to kind of meet those requirements. So we'd be happy to update you nearer the time. There's also printed information as well that we provide. We provide a large print tube map that's on a kind of really blown up scale, a nice poster for your wall if you like the tube. And if anyone would like any of those maps, please let me know and I can get them sent over to you. That's not a problem. So that's kind of all the areas of kind of planning your journey, getting going. And then now I'm going to talk about staff. So staff are vitally important. Yeah?
Can I just mention that I actually use your telephone service, which
yes, of course. Thank you. You've just reminded me of another one.
Well, it's very helpful. On the menu, there's one specifically for people with disability. And again, you can plan it, from your home right through. And, and they can be very, very helpful.
Yeah. Totally. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, so we
I think it's something like 0347 222 1234. It's a very simple number.
Wow, great memory. Yeah, that is exactly right. Yes, we also have a contact centre, so you can just call us up as well and plan a journey.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Is there any way of contacting the centre and just allowing bus drivers to know that, you might have a visually impaired person waiting on the stop? Because I find buses can be a little bit tricky, and it would be good for the driver to know beforehand if you're kind of waiting around. Is there any way of doing that?
At the moment, there isn't. No, I'm afraid not. That would be a great feature to have.
Really got
it is something though that we're exploring into the app that I mentioned. It's really difficult with bus drivers because there's. Especially in London, there's a lot of obviously quite a frequent bus service, so it would be difficult to kind of get that message to the operator and then.
Also, on my route, I had a bus go past me once, and actually, there's only one number bus that stops where I get on,
mm-hmm.
so obviously I knew which one it was. I did actually email TfL.
Mm-hmm.
They tracked down, because of the trackers on the buses, the actual bus, because I gave the time and everything.
Yeah.
And the driver, it sounds a bit North Korean, the driver was sent for retraining.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That is a perfect example of why you should complain and why you should write into us or call us, because that is a great example of why that driver actually needed to have a refresher on training.
The Mayor of London said that all buses should lower their platform. You have to request so many drivers to do that, to lower it. They should do it automatically.
They see people with heavy carrier bags, and
they don't bother. You have to tell them, and it's so much effort for them. They all have to do it.
And it shouldn't be. That's it's totally unacceptable. And they should be lowering the bus if they can see that they need to lower the bus. We're doing a lot of work with bus drivers at the moment in kind of training, and they're very kind of lots of small, like itty-bitty kind of things that they need to improve, but really make a huge difference.
They deliberately distance between the curb and the thing, and then they turn around and say, I can't lower it because I'm so much away, but why couldn't you bring it near the curb?
If you can, just challenge them.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you know that they should. They have. If you want to, they have a big red book. What they call a big red book, and in that book is all the kind of requirements that the bus driver should do in terms of lowering the bus, the ramp, allowing people to access the ramp.
Exactly, turning on the iBus.
Sorry.
Exactly, turning on the iBus.
iBus should always be on. Yeah, that should always be on. Unless there's a fault. If the IBUS isn't on, that is a huge issue. That should be definitely reported to us.
The
driver should be making announcements.
Surely the driver shouldn't be allowed to turn it off. I mean, they shouldn't be.
No, they are not allowed to.
But surely, why are they able to turn it off at all?
They are not allowed to turn it off. The only reason it should be off is there's a fault, and then they would take that bus out of service.
The problem is they turn the volume down and say that it annoys other passengers.
Which is tough. Can I just say to everyone, this is a really emotive subject, and we could be here all day discussing it. I think we should let the talk take place.
There are a lot of bus issues that you've all raised, and I think the gentleman over here, it's a great example that you should just report these things. It's great that you're sharing them with me today. But it's so important to raise these and send your.
Anybody who does live in London, you should report it to another charity called TIPA. They campaign strongly about all these issues. Mm. If you do not complain and you do not tell them, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to change? Is it going to change? No.
Okay, guys. Can I just say something a minute? If you at the end of today, we can gather all this information, like where you can complain to, make complaints to, and things like that, and we can send it all out in an email to you all. But as Jules said, let's just let Amy carry on her talk, and she will allow a few minutes at the end for more questions, okay?
Yeah, so it's great that you mentioned about TFA, but it's also important to raise it with us, because we're the people that we need to see it, and I work very closely with Transport for All as well, so it's great to complain to them, but also we need to see the information as well. So please feel free to do that. But moving on from kind of bus drivers, our tube staff as well are really important to our customers and provide an amazing service to our customers. Does anyone use or know about our Turn Up and Go service?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. So for anyone that doesn't know, our Turn Up and Go service is basically staff assistance, and you can basically turn up at a station, ask for staff assistance, and a member of staff will take you down to the platform, onto the train, and they'll radio over to your interchange and your end destination for someone to meet you off of the train and complete your journey. So a member of staff will guide you throughout your whole journey. So it's mainly used by wheelchair users or visually impaired people, and it's a really valuable service. And yeah, we do get some really good comments on that. And I know National Rail you have to pre-book, but we believe in that you should be able to make a spontaneous journey and just travel when you want to, like anyone else. So Turn Up and Go is a really valuable service. I'll just speak a bit about kind of the campaigns we do and some stuff we've got available at the moment. So does anyone know about our priority seating badge? So it's our Please Offer Me a Seat badge.
I'm not interested,
just ask people, really. Great, perfect, but not everyone does, so that's one of the reasons why we invented this badge. So we had a lot of we kind of did some research around priority seating and kind of how people that need a seat, how they feel about getting a priority seat, and did some research around that, and what we found was a lot of people with invisible conditions found it very difficult to get a seat, and people not offering a seat, and obviously didn't want to explain why they needed a seat every time. So we trialled this Please Offer Me a Seat badge, I think 2 years ago now. So we trialled it for 6 weeks with 1,200 people. They went out and wore the badge, and they reported back to us on how they felt and how their journeys went. And the feedback was really positive. So we launched the badge, so anyone can apply for a Please Offer Me a Seat badge, and it also comes with a card for people that don't want to particularly wear the badge. So we launched this last April, so not this year, the year before, 2017. And it's been a huge success, and a lot of people have really found more confidence travelling, getting on the network and feeling a bit more confident about getting a seat. Another side of this that we're looking at now is customer behaviour. So it's all well and good wearing this badge, but you actually need that customer to get up out of their seat to actually get a seat. And this is one of the hardest struggles we have at TfL is customer behaviour. It's such a tough one to tackle. We have a customer behaviour campaign, we have posters, we have announcements, lots of things. It's really, we really put a lot of effort in to try and change his behaviour. So earlier this year, there was a lady called Corey Shaw, and she has a police officer seat badge. She deals with, she has a range of disabilities, and she deals with chronic pain, so sometimes she's in quite a lot of pain and isn't able to stand. And she found, she was travelling on the network, and she's wearing her badge, but no one was actually looking up to see if anyone needed a seat. So she started this campaign, this look up campaign, very, very simple campaign. And obviously it was targeted at TfL and the mayor. And I think it was about a week or two, we managed to get look up messages on our kind of information boards, our digital information boards on the platform, and kind of announcements in stations that people, if someone needs a seat more than you, please offer it to them. And look up. It's simple as that. It's a simple message. Every stop, just look up and see if someone needs their seat. And it's not about blaming customers, because we all kind of, we commute in, we get on the tube, we want to escape that kind of commuter world. We want to go onto our phone, read a book, listen to music, go to sleep. but it's just that important message. Just look up if anyone needs your seat more than you.
Can I just say something on that?
Yes.
This happened some years ago, and I still had a bit of vision then. That's how I saw it. A lady got on a train, tube train, with a guide dog, and a gentleman said to her, "Would you like a seat?" And she very rudely said, "I'm blind. There's nothing wrong with my legs." Now, that doesn't help blind people.
No, that's not great.
I'm always polite if I don't need to help, because I never know I might need.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Just like you say no.
There was one time I got on a bus, very crowded in the morning, and a young schoolboy went out of his way to come from the middle of the bus to get me and get me a seat.
Oh,
and then he told all of the people off in front of him, having no consideration.
If only everyone could be like that.
I hope the Prime Minister in 20 years.
that's wonderful. But you know what? I think, just to give people credit, I think people are afraid. People are actually afraid to actually speak to someone.
Well, if they get spoken to like that, they're going to be...
Well, exactly. That's definitely it. Yeah, and I think I know some people that have said similar things where they actually, even if they don't want the seat, they'll just accept it, just because one day they do need it. That's a really important message.
You're getting up the next stop, and occasionally you'll be up to somebody saying, "Come and sit down." I'm like, if I sit down, I've got to get back up in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I always think there are people that need to see more than I would.
Yeah, so I don't bother.
No, but you can just say politely.
But yeah, politely, I was going to say,
yeah, of course, yeah. And that is the whole thing around customer behaviour, isn't it?
I'll just say thank you very much.
Just say thank you.
Yeah.
Really kind of you.
Yeah.
You know, when they are on the underground or on the buses, when they say this is either step-free access or et cetera, can they every stop mention, can you look up for people who might need the seat?
So this is the kind of the higher the aim, really, the dream. So those, to refresh those announcements is very, very expensive.
And also,
you would not believe how expensive it is to refresh all those announcements.
Also, more importantly, I mean, there's enough kind of verbal stuff on the train anyway, and it's important and it's really appreciated. But to have an announcement every bus stop saying, look up and offer someone a seat, that would get annoying to people.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember the, I don't know if anyone remembers the hold on announcement.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was not that announcement. That was, hold on.
Yeah, when the bus was already moving. Yeah, exactly. So we have that danger of,
And also the other problem was, well, of course the bus is going to move, you know, that's a bus.
there needs to be a balance between what's kind of really important kind of announcement and actually what's going a little bit too far is going to totally piss people off and then they're not going to listen to it.
I think it's more of like, so for instance, on a bus, a bus driver could have that option to just press, like if he or she sees someone boarding the bus that may need a seat, then that announcement could just be pressed. But I do appreciate that bus drivers have a really incredibly tough job and they've got lots of things going on that they need to be aware of. So that's just another addition. But it's something that we can definitely kind of explore and look into. But in terms of the Look Up campaign, we'll have kind of much more activity next year that we'll be doing, kind of promoting that messaging. And this year we had a priority seating week, which was another kind of customer behaviour campaign. So the week featured lots of different stories from people with a range of different hidden conditions who needed a seat, pregnant women, and they kind of did short videos on why they need a seat and why it's so important to them. And we had posters and they kind of, they were like, poster people, and they kind of had quotes on why they need a seat. And we'll have another priority seating week next year as well in April, so it'll be kind of that kind of behaviour change and the Look Up messaging as well. Another thing we have coming up in March is our Access All Areas event, which is at the Excel. So it's a huge expo of all the kind of improvements that we've made to transport in the last 5 years. So we did have one in 2014, but this next year it will be much bigger. So it's on the 19th of March. You'll hear much more about it. And we'd love for you all to come along. So there'll be lots of stands, so there'll be showcases from all areas of TFL, but then we'll also have an auditorium where we'll hold panel discussions and talks. We'll also have workshop space where we'll hold workshops for people to join. So we'll send all that information out and you can book onto those talks and those workshops, hopefully in January.
Can I just say, though, as well, that we're talking about London, you're so lucky here.
Yeah. You are. Very. You don't realise how lucky you are.
Unfortunately, I live in the dark ages in Manchester, where buses don't talk, where the only thing that does talk are trams.
There needs to be more talking with
them. I just think access to your transport system here in London, I am really jealous of, because when I come here, it actually makes me feel less disabled than actually that's being really back in Manchester. So I do think being London-based and around, your service is incredible. However, it is also far from perfect and does need to keep
it's
being
improved. So much.
But I'm jealous.
One big question that people might have really about access, you know, when you were talking about staff, is accessing the DLR. Is that also TfL?
That is, yeah.
Because the thing about Docklands like railways, a lot of stations, you know, really turn up and go is meant to exist on the DLR. Effectively, it doesn't in most cases because there's often unmanned stations.
Yeah. It should work. So if you're travelling to a DLR station, they should only let you board the train until they've got in contact with a member of staff.
But if there's no member of staff at the station, because quite a lot of stations are unmanned.
So that would only be, so there will always be someone at the station, whether they're visible, they could be in the control room.
Which isn't.
But there should be, at operating times, there should be someone at a station.
I think the difference is they don't have ticket barriers. That's the thing with DLR. There's not a barrier to meet and greet people.
Yeah.
They're open stations. You can just walk in off the street. There's no staff member at a barrier. Underground.
I certainly avoid the DLR. I mean, I do have a number for the control room. I don't think we really meant to have it, but quite a lot.
However, you will be able to find that on VI Talk later today.
It's just passed around, kind of. It's just.
I have a question.
Wait, sorry, were you finished?
Yeah,
it's just. Sorry, Brad, sorry.
Yeah, all I was going to say is it has just been sort of passed from person to person, particularly among people that need to use a DLR. I mean, I don't need to, so I don't use
I'm going to take that back to my team and see if there's anything, any work going on around that, because that's a really interesting thing that I think we need to look at. Thank you.
I mean, you know, I think all of us in London accept that we are extremely lucky compared to the rest of the country, because...
We do pay for it.
Well, you pay for it in the rest of the country
as
well.
We do.
Oh, yeah. My parents live in Derby, and the buses there are, you can't do a journey for much less than, say, £1.50. So, it's expensive everywhere else as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the gentleman at the back was going to ask you.
I
had a question.
Yeah.
Now, some of us are fortunate or unfortunate, whichever the case may be, to live on the Elizabeth line.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you're going to call Crossrail. Yeah?
At the moment it's TfL Rail, and it will be the Elizabeth line, yeah?
Okay. Now, as I said today, I had to go and take a bus, a plane, a boat, and a train just to get in. Okay, because I live in Chadwell Heath, which happens to be one of those stops.
Yeah.
Because of the disruption engineering works.
Yeah.
It makes it very difficult. Unfortunately, it's not advertised on the app.
Right. Okay. So what app are you using?
Which app are you using?
Update. It comes through at lunchtime on Thursday, and it tells you what lines are going to be closed.
Yeah.
Is that on the app?
It's not on an app.
I know it could be more widely available.
Yes. Yeah.
So the train line is on the Move It app, though, because I use that.
Yeah, so what app were you using? Because they just might not be using the right data set.
It's basically anywhere from Sheffield to Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
If you live anywhere near
there. We can confirm that every weekend till sometime in January, that line's closed.
Okay. I kind of gathered that because I get occasionally talk to some of the staff.
You want to sign up to the Sandra and Belinda app?
Yeah, we'll let you into a secret. We're actually, what are we?
Passenger Vision Ambassadors for
MGR. I'll keep you in.
We'll
talk later.
Good night. Right, is it?
We're a bit worried about the talk about having electric buses, and I know there's been consultation on how to make them with some sound, so when they come up to the bus stop, we can hear them. Is there any development on that?
Yeah, we have added sound. So the new there's a new bus. That's in route. There's two sides to this. There's a new bus that's in route that has added sound, and we're also doing bus safety trial at the moment. I forget the boroughs that they're doing it in, but I can get the information to you. Do you know what would they've be really, added sound.
Yeah, what would be really nice to have is maybe a sound file so people could listen to it in advance.
Great idea. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. so you could actually hear what it might
be. That's a really good idea. Nice.
Almost like a bat thing that's digitally sending out sound if you've got the app.
Yeah, for the talking users, for different
perfect.
That's a great idea. Familiarise themselves with app, that's going
to
be...
Yes, so people know what to listen out for.
Yeah.
I had that conversation with the taxi driver this morning. I was sat in the taxi coming here with the rest of them, and there was something missing. Just sat there, and there's something missing, and all of a sudden I realised it was the diesel engine.
We're
in an electric taxi, so I had the conversation with the gentleman this morning about what for us with visual impairments and.
Yeah.
I know the gentleman here at the front with us also has a hearing impairment. I'm also dual sensory. So again, it has to be loud enough for us to hear.
Yeah.
Or but the other side of this as well is if you're looking, your dogs are listening, often hidden by cars or other things. So if you can't hear it, then you're completely buggered as well. So there is this thing about the need for a sound. How can we make a nice sound?
Yeah,
and distinctive as well.
Yeah.
Can I just say that many of these discussions over the last 5-10 years I've been to, one of the things that's come out, and it hasn't happened yet, but I hope it does, you just said about a new bus, is that on the London tram link, the speaker outside each door tells you where the tram is going. And I can't understand why. As you get onto the bus, you can actually hear where the bus is going. It's a 131 going to Kingston. Why that speaker can't be outside when you... So if you know you're getting onto the right bus, especially if a bus stop has got 4 or 5 different buses, and then you know the bus is there and you know where it's going as you get onto it. You haven't got to get on with all the crowd of people behind you to ask the bus driver where your bus is going and what number it is, which I have to do. So it's this bit of independence. So you're talking about a tiny speaker... on the outside, like you've already actually got them on the trams. So why they can't be introduced on the outside?
So it's slightly different for buses because they're on, obviously, on the road and near houses and it always we've had these kind of suggestions talking bus stops before and it comes down to kind of
the actual bus itself.
Yeah, so it comes down to kind of noise pollution and a lot of we did do a trial on kind of a talking bus stop, but we had lots and lots
talking bus stops existed already. They have them in Brighton and I was at the TLZ offices at Southwark. We're talking about a speaker which is already outside on all your trams. If you stand at a tram stop now, there is a speaker on every tram that tells you where the tram is going. So if you're on the platform, you know where the tram's going.
But what she's saying is that's underground. You're not affecting anybody else who lives on that street. Or next to the bus stop.
The overground.
The joys of hearing impairment again. I missed the change, sorry.
Not at all, Paul. These go for 20, 30 miles across London. These are trams.
Croydon to Wimbledon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so every door has got a little speaker that tells you, if you're on the platform, where that...
They don't always have it on those.
But they exist.
Well, it is a suggestion that we have.
Oh, you've had it in writing and you've had it from TfL for 5-10 years, and you keep saying, "Oh, the next new
and
bus
is it
will have
because
it."
Because it's because of the noise pollution that it hasn't been taken on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you already have an app, don't you, for your buses as well?
Going back to sort of TfL, not TfL so much, not quite Elizabeth Line so much, but I know that some of your stations you have that requirement working alongside you, yes? Liverpool Street.
Yeah, so we share stations with Network Rail, yeah.
There's been many a time I've come across, let's say, I get to the barriers.
Yeah.
Now, I've been told by certain TFL people, I can't leave my post, let me call Network Rail.
Right.
That becomes slightly frustrating because, okay, let's say, for example, you work late, that's the last train.
Yeah.
You've got to wait for them to call Network Rail, for someone to come and because they can't leave their pubs. I don't understand what they're actually, the platforms is there.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the examples where this happens most actually is at Paddington. If you use a suburban rail, if you use the Hammersmith and City that goes to the suburban rail part of Paddington, there's never enough underground staff to actually help you to the British Rail station. So they have to either call, but if you book your British Rail train, okay, but you don't have to. But they can't take you there because there's never enough staff for them to. And I have sort of emailed, you know, to TfL, and I've, you know, made quite a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
I always raise that problem because it frankly is a problem. So say, you know, if I get the Hammersmith and City Line and need to get a train that goes not from the suburban bit, so say a long distance train, the interface between, you know, TfL tube staff won't take you to the railway because they say there's not enough of them.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make any excuses for that. That is a problem that we really do need to iron out.
It's their platform.
We need to iron out that interchange between TfL and
your platform.
Network.
Why
can't
you leave your post? What is it? No more than.
Yeah, I can't give the exact answer for that particular incident, but I'm happy to take it away if you give me the exact details.
It's always an ongoing problem because there's been a couple of times.
Where is it? At Liverpool Street?
Yeah, it's Liverpool Street.
And getting the TfL rail?
Yeah, so the last train is 5 to 1. So, for example, I now got to get my last train.
Yeah.
I get there, I don't know, let's say 1:45. Yeah? I've got to wait another 5 minutes for a guy from Network Rail. To come, when the guy's standing there at the barrier, it's like, just leave the barrier open. At the end of the day, people are running to get that train anyway. Mm. Because most people at that time are genuinely stupid. They look up and they're like, oh, God, last train, quick, run. So, I don't see what the problem is. And like I said, it's your platform. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'll look into that for you. I'll take that back.
And I don't buy the whole health and safety issue because if you're standing by the barriers,
yeah,
that's you do the health and safety issue. You stand on the platform, so I don't get it.
All right, can we let Amy finish off because we're slightly running over? So can we just give Amy a bit more time?
One more update, yeah. And then I'm done. Just on traffic lights. So all the traffic lights in London are managed and maintained by TfL. And recently we're doing a project at the moment on adding audio sounds to the countdown crossings. So at some crossings you'll have the audio, normal audio noise, and then you'll have kind of a digital screen that counts down from it could be 15 seconds, some are, or even 20 seconds, but then the audio switches off, so there's no audio. So we're doing a project at the moment to add a different noise to that countdown. It's not in service at the moment. It's just we're just kind of testing it out. We had an open day a couple of weeks ago at our offices in Southwark, and a lot of visually impaired people came and tested it and did some videos and stuff. Thomas Hopkinson came over, and it was great feedback. We had some really good feedback, so hopefully we should hopefully put that in at some point, but it'll be another thing that we'll probably show at Access All Areas. So.
One of the most positive things you do, and it's done all over the country but it's not promoted enough, is the rotating cones.
Yes.
I mean, that are on the bottom of crossing. Yeah. Most blind people know about them, but every sighted, well, not every, but most sighted people I come across say, well, the crossing doesn't beep, how do you know? And, you know, I explain about the rotating cone.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's really helpful, and it should be more promoted.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
I think there's one other service that you actually provide, it might be worth mentioning to the people here, is this where you have the mentoring system where people go to your home and say that you've recent sight loss, which is obviously then transport and mobility, you need, you know, you need someone to, you know, sort of boost your confidence to use the system. But they, people, you've got about five or six staff, I know, trained to go to people's home and do a journey with them, whether that's, you know, bus, train, tube. And they do it two or three times. So if somebody's got a hospital appointment or want to go to the leisure centre, and I've heard so many good reports from that. You know,
yeah, we'd love to hear them.
That you employ staff, you know, especially people with reasons, or somebody that knows London very well, but they've got a maybe an appointment at a new hospital they have not been to before.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
You know, they'll come to the house and do that journey with you
till
you get used to it. Now, I think that's a very, very good thing.
It's very, our travel mentoring is,
it's a very, very good service, mentoring, and it's from home, you know, from door to door. So it's they come to your home.
I can put all these details down.
If you can, we can share it on the VR talk groups and everything.
It's a very, very good service for people, especially for people with recent sight loss.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've met a lot of people that have had travel mentoring, done that service, and now they only kind of stuck in their only their local town or borough, and now they just travel all across London.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great confidence boost.
Absolutely.
Amy, well, another question. London Bridge Station has really changed, and I think they're now kind of near completion.
Mm.
We've tried several times to get somebody to give us orientation, to give just to walk with us for a couple of hours so that people can map it up in their heads.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any from the station manager. So we're not quite
from
sure.
From our underground or the Network Rail station?
Well, both, I think, because it will be the link between the underground and the station, just to map out the whole thing.
Okay, I'll take that away.
Is there any point in doing it, though? Is there any point, though, until Is there any point until the work's finished, was my question.
I think it is finished now.
Yeah, it's finished.
Yesterday
we travelled first time after the new London Bridge opened.
Yeah.
From the underground to the main line, you pass through a shopping centre.
Yeah.
So people who haven't got any eyesight, they have got no idea what they're going, they're just walking straight through.
Right,
and they need somebody there at that shopping centre from the underground to the main line.
Okay, I'll take that away. That's,
I think it's knowing where the meeting points are, where the loos are, the interchange, where staff is. I know people actually avoiding that station because it's overwhelming and it's changed
and maybe
too much.
Is the problem at London Bridge, is this a similar problem to the one at Paddington where there's not, the staff can't help you get from the train to the rail because, you know, it's too far or...
I think it's because the station has changed so much.
I think it's more complex than that at London Bridge. London Bridge is on so many different levels, with so many different tunnels.
But I mean, this is the thing, are the staff allowed as it stands?
I think so. They seem to help people.
Because a lot of people won't learn. I mean, obviously, if you use it every day, you'll learn it. But the point is...
Well, no, I think people need to relearn it.
I was going to say, but if you don't use it every day, you're probably not going to learn
that's
it. But you still need the help.
So they seem to be quite good, sorry to interrupt,
but this is not for here, really. I know you need to tell Amy, but you've told
her,
and that's fine.
That's
can I tell you something? That all of you in London, I hope you realise how spoilt you are. You want to come and live in Devon. just come and spend a week in Devon and travel like I have to on a daily basis all around Devon into Somerset, and then you'll see how spoilt you really are. Amy, is there anything else you wanted to cover?
That is everything. Just if you've got any kind of questions, we've got a TfL accessibility email address, so it's just tflaccessibility@tfl.gov.uk. Phone number, all of that, I'll put it all in
Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving your talk today, Amy.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.